Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And a warm welcome to each one of you today. Thank you for tuning back in to the Everyday Truth Podcast. And what a privilege it is for Hannah. I know I speak for Hannah and really for Caleb and Joshua and Nathaniel when I say that we are honored, humbled, privileged that you would join our conversation day by day about the Word of God, from the Word of God. Our simple belief here at Everyday Truth is that the Word of God makes a difference in our lives. And just as food and good food is essential to our well-being day by day, we believe that good portions of the Word of God in our life every day strengthen us and equip us for the challenges that we inevitably face. So thank you for joining us day by day. We're in chapter 8, Hannah, of Nehemiah, and we intended to get through
Well, I said 12, and you said, no, probably 6, and then it went to 3. So I'm excited to do a little catching up. And
We got through three verses. The verses we got through yesterday, Ezra, Nehemiah, they're friends, they're colleagues. Nehemiah is the career man, cupbearer, who came and did the building project. Ezra has been the one that for years has been inculcating the Word of God into the lives of these people faithfully. And now on this first day, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, he is sharing the Word of God with the people. And we left last episode with the thought that he has read the Bible all morning long. So let's just take the conservative estimate and say it was 3 hours of Bible reading, starting at Genesis 1 and verse 1. So let's look at it. Again, if you're following along in your own Bible, listeners, I'm in verse 3, where it says, he read therein, in the book of the law of Moses, before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and with those that could understand. And here's what the Bible says about the attitude of the people as he was reading. Because as a pastor, Hannah, I see what you don't see when I'm preaching or when I'm up there reading the Bible. What I see is I see the faces of people. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You'll help your pastor if you listen with your face as well as with your ears.
I'm sure it's an interesting, very interesting.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm wondering, is anybody hearing this? And yet the Bible says about the people here, the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So it's interesting. Nehemiah noted that. Nehemiah noted, wow, as Ezra was reading, because Nehemiah was there too that day. He was listening. Nehemiah said, I noticed that the people were just, they were all in. They were, we would say today, they were all ears. And then in verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. Interesting. We picture a pulpit as something we stand behind. And, you know, we have a pulpit, and I'm sure that many of you attend a church. There's a pulpit there. Not that we have to have one. It just helps. It's something to put your Bible on. And I rarely stand behind the pulpit anyway. I kind of have nervous energy, and I walk around a lot. But the pulpit here is not referring to something on which you place your Bible or something behind which you stand. The pulpit in Nehemiah chapter 8 refers to the platform, what they're standing on. So in order for Ezra to have some visibility among the crowd, and Hannah, there may have been 30,000 people there that day.
It's incredible.
Just think about the logistics of that.
And then there's no microphone or anything.
Yeah, he must have had some leather lungs. I mean, and yeah, it really makes you wonder how. But you know, we read the numbers from last chapter. There were a ton of people there, and he's standing on the pulpit of wood, really just for logistic reasons. You know, so people can see him, and no doubt it's going to give him better. There are better acoustics to be able to be in a position where his voice can project. So the Bible says in verse 4 that he stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, for that very event. And beside him stood, and it lists some of the eldership that existed then, guys that stood with him. And what I see there is I see the benefit of a unified leadership. You know, that Ezra and Nehemiah are leading the people, but there are other key strategic leaders that are lending their support just by being there. And is that not a great principle for us as well, Hannah, that sometimes the best way by which we demonstrate solidarity is just by being a visible public presence with somebody.
And being consistent, I think, kind of goes in line with that too. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, consistency, visibility. One of the things that we expect at our church, among our pastoral staff, among our leadership team, we would include our deacons in that, is, and we talk about this, is visibility. You know, we want, it's important that people not only know what you believe, but they see that you're part, you know, you're visibly part, not for the purpose of getting glory, but for the purpose of showing solidarity with the work of God. So here were men that were visibly supportive just by their presence. And the Bible says in verse 5 that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, they could see him. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And some churches actually even have this practice that when the Word of God is read, I know for years in Pennsylvania, at our church in Pennsylvania, we would say, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, because we had a formal scripture reading time. And I like that. That's a special thing. I was preaching in a church in California some years ago, and I got up to preach, and I opened the Bible, and I began reading my text. And as I began reading, people all over the room began standing up. I didn't ask them to. They just did. And the pastor of that church had just taught them that when the Word of God is read, not that this is a command, and if your church doesn't do this, I'm not judging you, but he had just taught his folks that when the Word of God is read, just out of respect, let's stand. And we don't have to wait for somebody to tell us to do that. And I really like that. It made an impression upon my heart that day. So here, Nehemiah, or rather Ezra, reads the scripture and the people stand up. So even though that's not a command for us, Hannah, is it not important for us to stop and say, well, the Word of God ought to be respected?
I mean, it's God's word. It's his very command and
his communication. His revelation of himself.
Right.
And when the Word of God is read, it, in a very real sense, we're entering the presence of God. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not Shakespeare. This is not, you know, some New York Times novel. This is the revelation of God to man. And people had a sense of what it was. I wonder in our 21st century, when the Word of God is so ubiquitous, I wonder, do we have a sense of what it is that they did? And the Bible says in verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. So he read the Word of God, and then he prayed a prayer of blessing. You know, God, thank you for your goodness and your grace and your holiness and your long suffering and your covenant promises. And he blessed the Lord. And all the people answered, amen, amen. So we've been in services, Hannah, you and I have, where there have been no amens, you know, because culturally some churches just don't verbalize amen. I've been in some services where people talk more than I do, you know, with their response to the message. And listen, I cultures change and church cultures are different. I get that. But the point about amen is what it means. The word amen in just a simple sense means I agree. I agree, or so be it. And when the word of God is read, it's not always comfortable for us to hear, but we ought to always be able to say amen. The matter of fact, the Bible says about Jesus, he is the amen. He is amen. In him is amen. In other words, Jesus Christ is the perfect reflection of the word of God. He is the living word of God. He is the answer to God's truth. He is the truth. And so, amen and amen, said the people. We ought to have the attitude that if the word of God says it, then I believe it, and that settles it. And I think the people here had that kind of value on the word of God. So they said, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And that was a sign of worship, a sign of surrender. Even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. In other words, without anger toward each other, without doubting, with faith toward God. I'm right with God. I'm right with man. Lifting up the hands is a sign of full and complete worship and surrender to God. I wonder today, my listeners, my friends, can you in good conscience lift up your hands in worship to God? Can you lift up your hands and say, I am right with God and man, and I have a longing for, a dedication to the word of God? That's what's happening in Nehemiah chapter number 8. And so the Bible says they lifted up their hands and they bowed their heads. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So we hear a lot today, Hannah, about praise and worship. And I'm afraid that a lot of times praise and worship in the 21st century has become more about me and what I like and what my tastes reflect than it is about the object of our worship.
Right. And often worship is confused with emotion. And sure, I mean, worshiping through music is a wonderful form of worship. It's one of, you know, the many ways that we love to worship and enjoy it. But worship is deciding to follow Christ no matter what. I mean, worship is...
I heard it this way. Worship is to ascribe worth to.
Right. Right. That's perfect definition. So I think we limit worship to just music. And so we limit worship to emotion. I think a lot of times is what happens. And like you said, we value it over many other things, over our, you know, our preferences and whatnot. And it's okay to have preferences, but it's not, you know, worship is more than just that.
And that's a really good point, Hannah. And that is that we can make the means of worship what we worship or what we value. So it's like this music is what I value because I like it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't like the music that you use to worship the Lord, but I'm saying it's easy to make the means the end. You know, this is the way I like it. I feel comfortable with it. This is the way we've always done it or whatever.
And it's often done without realizing you're doing it. I mean, you're not.
I mean, I've sung songs in church, Hannah, that I've enjoyed. And when I get to the end of the song, I'm like, I don't remember one word I said because it just was so familiar. I just kind of went through it in a rote way. And yet the Bible says that true worship is going to affect my spirit in the sense of I'm in the presence of God. I'm not worthy. My face is to the ground. My hands are uplifted. The word of God is real. This is a setting in which they are sensing in every way the almighty presence of God. And that's where I'm going to leave us today, listeners. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be at an altar. But would you take a moment today and just, even just now, just stop and sense the real presence of God in your life. And take a moment and ascribe worth to him for who he is and what he does. The humility that ought to come to realize that who am I that he would even think of me? And that was the sense of these people many years ago. I hope it's our sense today. Thank you again for joining us. Looking forward to continuing the conversation tomorrow. Hannah, we got through 6 verses. Took us 2 episodes, but here we are. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.